Well, good morning. It's good to be with you all this morning, to break bread and worship God and sing praises to Him. Good to see you guys. I was just thinking about our reading and praising God for the living hope that we have. It's just such a beautiful thought. Even in the trials and the challenges that we experience, you see the note of joy and praise and blessing that was in the reading that we just worked through. I want to try and illustrate something that's really impossible to illustrate. I noticed this washed out a little bit more than I'd hoped, but anyway, you'll get the idea, I think, in just a minute. So we're going to start with a vision test, and this actually might work out okay. Can everybody see the black dot in the center of the screen? Gerald, from back there, can you see that? What about you, Stephen? Can you see the black dot in the center of the screen? Okay, so this image is meant to be represent the glory of eternity. All that ever was, all that ever will be, the radiance of God's glory, the overwhelming beauty of His face, just this brilliance, this beautiful brilliance. The black dot in the middle that we're all struggling to see right now is this world. From the beginning of time to the end of time. Creation, the created world itself, our life, our cares, our concerns, our interests, our sufferings, the things that overwhelm us. We are so small in light of eternity. I played with, maybe I'll make the dot a little bit bigger so you can actually see it, but I think this is actually better. The cares of this world are so insignificant in light of eternity. Again, we're so small, but we rarely see this. We rarely see how small we are in the grand scheme of all that is God and His great purposes. What tends to happen, let's see. Let's try that. Amen. Let's see. There we go. Let's try this again. Okay. Let's start over. No, I'm just kidding. So there's a dot there, I promise. There's a dot in the middle of this. But we tend to, I'll tell you, this thing, John, I might just have to snap and you can just turn it. But go ahead and click it if you would. I don't even have my keyboard up here like I used to bail me out. So can you just advance the slide? Welcome. Okay. Oh, there we go. All right, let's start over again. No, here we go. So glory, dot in the middle, we got it. But this is what we tend to do, right? We tend to be so focused on this world that we just drown out the bigger picture. We get so bogged down by this life, so consumed by this world, we fail to really look up, fail to look up and see our life on this earth in its proper perspective. Eternity is by far the greater reality, and our life on this earth is just this minuscule dot in the scope of something that's far greater. Now, this recognition shouldn't lead us to apathy or indifference or just some whatever attitude. I mean, I could say this and we'd be like, okay, well, what matters anyway? And we just sort of bum through life. That's the opposite reaction that this should have. This should lead us to do absolutely everything with purpose. This should lead us to prioritize everything we do with eternity in view. This should lead to a radical and all-consuming devotion to God and to His purposes. Because we're a part of something that's far greater. We're preparing for something that's far greater. Our choices, our priorities, these have eternal consequences. And so I'll ask, do you have an eternal perspective? Do you live your life, you have an eternal perspective? Are you living for eternity? Are you actively living for eternity? I was reading a book a few weeks ago, and this one phrase just struck me. The author was really devoted to structured his life to prepare for eternity. And he said this. He said, "People accuse me of going overboard in preparing for my first 10 million years in eternity. In my opinion, people go overboard in worrying about their last 10 years on earth." Think about that. I think there's a lot of truth in that. How much of our life do we spend focusing on getting ready for that last 10 years in this world and not really truly thinking about eternity? I think about this too. You know, we sing about it. We sing about eternity. I know for myself, it's in the back of my head somewhere. But I mean, again, really, truly, and in a true, sincere sense, living for eternity. I know I'm not as consumed by eternity as Paul was. You read his writings and you just see the idea of being with the Lord dominated his view. Look at your concerns. Look at your priorities. Look at the level of your commitment to Christ. Look at the things you love. Look at your suffering. Do these reflect an eternal perspective? Or do these reflect a temporal, material perspective? And so when we begin to see life in relationship to eternity, it really does dramatically change everything. Who am I to question God? Because He can see things that we can't. I mean, He has a much, much more immense frame of reference than we do. We're stuck down here. And He can see so much more than we can. Why am I so concerned? Why am I so stressed, so anxious, so worried, so afraid? Might even say, why am I so angry? Again, when eternity's in view, why am I so distracted? I mean, what is here that matters in light of eternity? Why do I love the world so much, which is just passing away? It's so short-lived. Why do I throw away so much for such temporary, short-lived pleasure? You know, you think about Esau and what the Hebrew writer identifies in Hebrews 12 and how he just sold it all for a single meal. I mean, we do the same when we turn against God and go into sin for such short-lived passing pleasure. And then I think about this. What am I doing? What am I actually doing? Am I investing in or accomplishing anything that has lasting value? Anything that aims for eternity? Or am I bogged down? Over and over and over again, the Scriptures teach us to pursue life in relationship to eternity. I want us to think first about our concerns and our priorities. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about worry and talking about this life and this world. And He says this in verse 25, "Do not be worried about your life. Do not be worried about your life as to what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or for the body, what you'll put on." Listen to what He says next. "Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing?" He's looking at the most basic aspects of our lives, the most fundamental, most important things of our existence on this earth. He says there's so much more to life than what you eat, what you drink, what you put on. So don't worry about those things. He goes on in verse 31, "Don't worry then," saying, "what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear for clothing?" We shouldn't be worried and consumed and distracted by these things. But He goes on to say, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness." Again, His kingdom, His reign, His rule, all that He's been working to accomplish, these are these high purposes. These are these things that should dominate our scope and our view and be very, very first in our lives. And so the Scriptures teach us to see life in relationship to eternity with our concerns, with our priorities, also with our commitment. Think about what Jesus told His disciples. It's just after He says, "I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, I'm going to be raised up." He said, "If anyone wishes to follow after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. Whoever wishes to lose his life," whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's a really extreme statement if you think about it. He's saying, I expect everything. But here's the frame of perspective he gives. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with the angels, and he will pay every man according to his deeds. And so he talks about our commitment, talks about the level of our devotion, all that we should give to him, and then he puts it in light of eternity. I mean, we can get all this world has to offer. I mean, truly stop and just imagine that for just a second. I mean, there's things we aspire to in this life. I want a certain house, a piece of property, all these kinds of things. Let's just say you own it all. At the end of the day, you've got a minuscule dot in the scope of eternity. He said, anyone who wishes to follow after me, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, it's worth your soul. That's a small price to pay for what the Lord blesses us with. And so this challenges our commitment, challenges us to greater commitment. Jesus also teaches us to think about the things that we love, the objects of our desire and our affection, in light of eternity. He says earlier again in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount again, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth, rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Forgetting even about the passing of this world, here he's just looking at the fact that stuff breaks down, stuff gets stolen. Why would you invest so much of your heart and your energy and your life into this just temporal junk? Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, like what we read in 1 Peter 1. That's imperishable. That's not passing away. That's here to stay. And he tells us where our treasure is, there our heart is. It reveals a lot about our affections, the things we devote ourselves to. In 1 John, he says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, this is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and so are its lusts. But he who does the will of the Lord, the will of God, lives forever. Underscore that. The world is passing away. John's writing these brethren to build up their confidence and let them know, you have life, you're walking with God, but here is a serious warning he gives early on in this book. He says, but don't love the world, it's going away. That would steal you away from God, steal your heart away from God. And it's so temporary, it's so short-lived. And so our concerns, our priorities, our commitment, our loves, the objects of our affection and our desire, Even our suffering changes when we learn to see that in light of eternity. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 8. He said, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's to be revealed to us. Especially when we're suffering, the temptation is to just be overwhelmed by it and to be consumed by it. And what Paul does here is he steps way back, and as intense and overwhelming as our suffering is, he says that's not even in the same league as the glory that awaits us. Again, going back to our illustration, it's just this blip on the radar. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart. Although the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comprehension, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Think about what Paul said again about his suffering. This is the same letter where in chapter 11 he just goes through this list of all the things he's endured as an apostle, all the things he's learned endured as a disciple of Christ. He talks about the beatings and the shipwrecks and the imprisonments and the times he was almost, you know, stoned and left for dead. And I mean, you think about all that he went through, and he describes it as just momentary light affliction. Now, if we're just looking at the black dot, that's not momentary and that's not light at all. That's intense and that's overwhelming. But in the scheme of eternity, momentary light affliction, and all that's doing is helping me be more grounded in my hope, be more grounded in my God, and look up to Him and see all that He has and all that He's accomplishing for me. So this is easy, right? It's not. This is our struggle. The world seems so much more real. I mean, this is what we're experiencing with our senses. We see it, we feel it, we smell. All our senses are engaged and it can consume us. This is what we know. The concerns are more consuming. The pleasures seem that much more enticing. And things happen that just constantly bring our eyes down to this world. Things that just work to consume our attention, consume our affection, or distract us from these higher things. Even this week, as working on this particular lesson and just thinking about it and planning on it, all four of us got hit with a stomach bug. Started with Elijah, then Chels, then Evie, and I was at home. I came home to bring some lunch while Chels was down, and Evelina threw up. And I thought, I'm the only one left. It will, 2 hours later, it hit me. And so I'm down. And you know, you just lay there and you wallow and you want to throw up and then you don't want to. It's just this, I mean, and don't get me, that by no means epitomizes suffering. There's worse suffering that we experience. But that does, I think, illustrate the kinds of things that just happen to us day after day that just bring us down, challenge us and teach us to look inward, and that's what we're wrestling against. That's what we're struggling against. And so what God's teaching us to do is in all of this, continually step back, continually reflect, continually see life with these higher things in mind. I think, again, in the passage we just read, Paul reveals the key to this. Well, I want to reread that section in 2 Corinthians 4. For momentary light affliction is producing in us, producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Just keep looking up. That's what Paul's getting at here. While we look not at the things that are, I mean, that's the temptation, right? To get overwhelmed by this black dot and just see it and only see that. And Paul's saying, I experience all these things, not looking at that. Looking elsewhere, looking up. And so we need to continually look up. We need to continually remember this will not last. Whether we're struggling through suffering and trial, the hope is this will not last. Whether we're tempted to give our hearts and our allegiance to something other than God, we need to remember this will not last. Whether we're struggling with our commitment and the energy that we put into our God, we need to remember, this will not last, but He will. And so again, whatever it is in this life, we're challenged, continually look up, continually look out, continually renew our perspective. The world's calling us to look down and look within. Our eternal God calls us to look out and look up. I want to give you one homework assignment, okay? This is the only thing I'm going to make you do this week as we leave the lesson. I want you to just meditate on eternity. I want you to just carve out some period of time in your week to stop, find a quiet place, be still, just meditate and pray about eternity. Recommend, for me, I find Revelation 4 and 5, some of the scenes in Revelation, just helpful for me to just get some sort of framework and imagery. But just stop and imagine that scene and take your time and look around at the throne room of God and see Him on the throne, see all these countless living creatures and beings and falling down before Him and worshiping and praising Him and honoring His character and His nature and His works and all that He's accomplished. Just take some time to do that and tell God how awesome He is and ask Him to help you view your life with this eternal scope in view. There's a greater enduring reality. All that we see, all that we experience, all that we know in our lifetime, before our lifetime, even the generations after we exist are gone. All this is not even a blip on the screen. I promise there's a dot there, but overwhelmed in the presence of God, living in eternity, the concerns of this life, the sufferings of this life, as pressing, as consuming as they are today, there'll be a point when they seem as nothing. Seem as absolutely nothing. And if I reject the King, if I go through life pursuing my own interests, pursuing my own purpose, if I love the creation rather than the Creator, I'll never know eternal glory. I'll know only tribulation and distress. I'll know the wrath of God. I'll live eternally tormented by the regret of knowing that I heard the gospel countless times and it didn't change me. I was so short-sighted. I was so weak and faithless. I was so fleshly minded that I threw it all away for just some temporary passing pleasure. And if creation itself, from the beginning of time to the end of time, is not even a blip on the screen, how much less these passing pleasures that we give ourselves to, that we trade it all away and throw it all away for just this transient thing. We need to have an eternal perspective. We need to live in view of eternity. We need to plan for eternity. We need to prepare for eternity. So let's devote ourselves to preparing for those first 10 million years rather than giving ourselves so fully to these last 10. And I hope you recognize that we can't measure eternity in time, but I hope it helps us think about it. Let your concerns, let your priorities, let your commitments, let your loves, your affections, even let your suffering reflect a deep understanding of eternity and God's bigger purposes and God Himself, who is so much bigger. Do things that matter. Don't get distracted. Live with purpose. Live with God's purpose. And do your homework. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, You are so holy. May Your name be lifted up above all things that all in this world will recognize how great You are, how worthy You are of praise. May people recognize You as the great King and sovereign ruler and submit their lives to You. There's so many people that we know and love and care about, whether in our family or close friends, people we work with, that don't know You. Help them to see You and to know You and to find forgiveness in Your Son and to find fulfillment walking with You. Help us to be loving enough to point them to You. God, we struggle so much to see these high things, the things in this life so easily dominate our attention and steal our heart away from You. And that is just this repeated struggle of faith that we have. Help us not to be short-sighted, but to be far-sighted and to see Your great purposes, see Your great character, all the great things You've done, Your eternal purposes, and help us to pursue those things, to truly seek first Your kingdom, Your righteousness, to trust You, to love You,
to give ourselves to you, not to hold back, but to be who you would have us to be and pursue these things with our all. Thank you so much for your continued patience with us in our weaknesses and the times that we fail, for your mercy, your grace, the love that you showed us in sending your Son to die for us, and what that does to teach us and to transform us and to fill us up with hope. And the hope you've offered us, what an amazing thing. Your inheritance, your glory, to be in your presence and see you face to face. These are blessings that we really cannot imagine. But help us to long for you and live in such a way that will glorify you, for you're worthy of so much. In Jesus we pray. Amen. If you're not in Christ, we want to baptize you into Christ for forgiveness of sins, and let you start that walk with Him. It's an amazing thing, the hope that we have in Christ, the forgiveness of our sins, and as I just prayed about, the fact that God says we can be with Him, we can share in His glory and see Him face to face. If you want that to be your hope, we want to baptize you today so you can begin that walk. And if you're struggling in your life and you need our prayers, if you have sin that you need to confess and we can pray with you about that, please let us know. If there's anything we can do, please come forward as we stand and sing.
I am mine no more.